Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today on this beautiful spring day as we are right at the very first of April, and oh my goodness, did the first quarter just fly by. It is just amazing how 2014 is just going like crazy. Today I was reading in my Bible in Isaiah, and it's talking about how God's thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. And that is wonderful of how our guest is today, because God just kind of rearranged things in her life and got her a little bit on a different track. Her name is Michelle Axton Kelly, and the truth, Michelle's not a perfect Christian, but God uses the best and the worst parts of her to encourage others to develop a truly personal relationship with Him. It is not until she gave up trying to create a Pinterest-perfect life that God blessed her with His own amazing plans. So I want to just welcome you, Michelle. I'm so glad you joined us.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia, for having me.
Okay, Pinterest is the hot thing right now. Everyone's wanting everything on Pinterest, so you're going for Pinterest-type life, and God changes it around. Tell us what happened.
Well, that is exactly right. I think I grew up with this ideal of how I wanted life to be, Martha Stewart perfect and Pinterest perfect, and yet life doesn't really work that way a lot of times, and I think I got a little bit too caught up in trying to create that. But if I can back up a little bit, I'll start with my childhood. I grew up in a small Texas town, and I went to a very conservative church, a wonderful church, but a conservative church. And I have in my mind a picture of the girl in the white dress. I talk and I write about the girl in the white dress, and her name was Susanna, and she just had just about the most perfect life I could imagine. Her house just seemed so peaceful and clean and quiet, and she had this beautiful white dress that she would wear to church in the spring. And I always looked at her and compared myself. On the other hand, I had a very loving home, but we had 7 children under one roof, and it was just quite a bit more chaotic than little Susanna's house. But, it was busy. And it was, at times, money was tight. You know, my parents worked super hard to make sure that we had a great future. And that meant working 3 jobs often. And they were both going to school for higher degrees and their careers. And then in the midst of that, life kind of took a turn. And my mother, at age of 36, got rheumatoid arthritis, which disabled her, and it was quite scary. I mean, she got very ill, and I wasn't sure if I was going to have a mom throughout my childhood and adulthood. Mm-hmm. So there was that bit of scariness, and on top of that, there was a predator in our midst, and, something that I really haven't talked a whole lot about yet, but I feel that God is prompting me to speak about, and a lot of Christian women these days, is the reality of station that was around me and other members, other children in our family. So I had these secrets and I had these thoughts and I had these actions that were all adding up to, in my mind, something I couldn't reconcile, and that was that life was not perfect and I was certainly not perfect. So how could God love me? You know, He just seemed this big, distant entity that I couldn't connect with, and I felt like a fraud. So the name of my website where I write in my happy home is called Confessions from the Back Pew, and that is because a lot of times in my life I sat on that back pew of church feeling like a fraud and not really getting engaged. So I think, I went from there, and in college tried to be the perfect Christian, and it, I couldn't, live in that world that I thought I should be living in. And it wasn't until I started working and traveling the world I had some great opportunities that God gave me, but I always would keep him off to the side and, you know, give him a cursory nod. Yes, God is the God of my life, but I never really gave anything over to him. I was a project manager by career and by nature, and I just tried to project manage everything in my life, but he kept kind of throwing me curveballs. So, for example, I didn't meet my husband until I was in my 30s. He's from Ireland and a wonderful, wonderful lad, and we didn't get married for forever. We dated for 5.5 years, and so I didn't get married until I was 36. So I had project managed how my wedding was going to go and how I was going to get married young and have kids. Well, there was another curveball. We tried to have children, and unfortunately we went through a lot of pain, a lot of loss, and a lot of testing and just down that infertility road that certainly wasn't in my perfect plan. And through that, God brought me to my knees because I had just been kind of charting my own path. But I was finally brought to my knees through that and some other things that were going on in our life at the time. And I couldn't control it. And it was when I couldn't bear to look at the world around me, because it seemed like everyone had a child and everyone could get pregnant. It was the one thing as a woman I just couldn't do, that I was humbled and I was broken, and I looked up and I saw Jesus for the first time, and I developed this intensely personal relationship with him for the first time, and it's just been so beautiful. It is like an onion peeling away layers after layer, to see what God is for me now and what he has been all along. I just didn't know. And through that journey, he has surprised me most of all in my life. I mean, I think anyone who knows me is probably as delighted as I am to see that he's using my story as a writer and a speaker to share his love. So it's just been wonderful. I actually have 2 children now, 2, by the grace of God, and just sharing my story. But I pray that there would be somebody like me listening, and that they could live in this place that's undaunted and not perfect, because whatever we have planned for ourselves, God's plan is just so much richer and greater.
Well, tell me a little bit, what's God doing? What is he, he's got you blogging, but how else is he showing you that his plan is different? I mean, it's easy to micromanage. It's easy to plan out your life. But what are some twists and turns that he's thrown at you?
Well, one that's kind of interesting is back in college, I think about this story because it is such a great example of working with God's will versus against it. I was in college, and I was determined that I was going to be a French major, and I was going to speak French and be French and everything French, because I thought it just sounded wonderful. But I just I kept trying to go on a study abroad program in France, and I ran into obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And so I set that dream aside, and just a few months after that, I was called up to one of my professor's desks, and he said, I have an opportunity, a full scholarship for you to go to Japan. And, boy, I tell you, I had to do some of the work, because I think with God's plan, you also have to do your part. But, you know, I put the paperwork in place and wrote essays, but it just happened. It just was so easy that I knew that was God's plan for me, you know. And that's kind of how life is now. We just moved from the East Coast back to the Rockies, and we tried for 7 years, but that wasn't God's plan for us. All that time that we were on the East Coast, I know God was working within our hearts, changing our hearts and friends' hearts, and putting our family in place. And I can see it so clearly now. But you know, for 7 years, we had it in our mind that we were going to move. So you know, that's kind of the delightful thing. It's frustrating at times when God says, not right now. But someone said it to me once, you know, think of God's will as a stoplight. So green is go, red is stop. that's not for you. But sometimes it's yellow. Sometimes it's not right now.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think that's something that's very important for us to learn in our walk with Christ. You know, no matter how much we plan our life, no matter how much we don't plan our life, sometimes we're the spur of the moment, shoot from the hip, and still God says, not now. And that's something that's very important for us to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, too, with the as far as the, you know, the putting the perfection aside, this, you know, perfect life and plan that I had for myself, one of the beautiful things that God has revealed to me in my writing is that when I show the world how perfect I am, basically it doesn't resonate with people. But when I am brave enough to share my worst day, and I've had some doozies, but when I share those moments with other people, that's when we connect, because I think God uses those moments to encourage, you know, and the Bible says that God uses everything for the good of his glory, for the greatness of his glory, and that is true. And that makes the, you know, those rough days not sting quite as badly.
Right, that's exactly right. Well, let's look at just a minute, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask this, but I think we can do this. In the Bible, is there one particular character, male or female, or a specific story that resonates with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't know if your listeners have heard of the one-word concept, but it's the idea that you pick a word for the year. And for 2014, it's just kind of my word of inspiration, and it's called Undaunted. And so the character in the Bible for me would be Joseph, because if you look at Joseph's life, you know, and being betrayed by his brothers and going into Egypt and all the trials and tribulations that he went through, there's one word that I would use to describe him as faith, and that's undaunted. And that's the way I want to live. You know, I don't want my immediate circumstances to cloud my perception of God for eternity.
I love that word, and I love the one-word thing. I think that is wonderful.
Absolutely.
So how is God pushing you now? And whenever I introduced you, you had said that one of the biggest things is that he uses you to encourage others to develop a personal, rewarding relationship with him. How is God using you to do that? How do you go about that?
Well, I think one of the biggest keys is to tell those stories that are not so easy to tell. You know, I just wrote Grace for the Weary Mom, and it was a kind of a tie-in to another post I wrote called Pardon My Ashes. And I talk about something that's been the biggest hurdle for me as a mom right now is anger. You know, I have these precious 2 and 4-year-olds, but boy, do they push me to the edge some days. And, you know, it's humbling to write about that, but I know I'm not the only mom. And when I can write about something like that, I know God can use it to give hope. And so that's kind of how he's pushing me and giving me opportunities to connect. Also, I think what's interesting is, you know, we were in the Bible Belt when I really started stepping out in my faith and sharing it more openly and writing about it and telling people that know me. That's kind of the hardest thing, is to tell people that know you that you're a writer.
Exactly.
They can see everything, right? But now we're in the Rocky Mountains, and it's very liberal here, and just very, it's a different atmosphere altogether from the Bible Belt. I just went to yoga last night, and, you know, they were talking about the goddess of love or something. And so sharing my faith with people that don't really have the background that we might have had, you know, on the East Coast, that's a new challenge for me as well. But I'm looking forward to it, and I pray that, you know, God will give me the words to intrigue and really speak to the hearts of people around me instead of, you know, maybe turning them off or something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, so. Very much so, very much so. So what is one of the biggest issues that you run across when you're talking to women with their journey? What is one of the issues that just kind of seems to come up over and over? Because some people, you know, they have a ministry that it seems like every time you turn around, it's someone that has to do with either abortion or infertility. But what is the issue that just generally comes up with you?
I think loneliness. I think a lot of moms, especially, you know, stay-at-home moms or moms that are just, I mean, any kind of mom, really, working moms, there's this, there's a level of loneliness because we spend so much of our time providing for families and working. You know, we have so many roles. And what I find is that women want to connect. They want to connect, but sometimes, you know, there may be this idea that they're being selfish by reaching out to support groups or, you know, women going to lunch or having friends because it's taking them away from their primary roles. But I think God gives us women in our lives to connect with and so that we can receive that wise counsel and the encouragement and the support. And that makes us, in turn, stronger for our families. You know, when I share with someone that I've gone through infertility, you wouldn't believe how many women go through that. And depending on their backgrounds, how they were brought up, and the people that they're around, that may be okay to talk about and share with others, or they may be struggling silently with it. Or it might be a mom struggling with anger, or a mom struggling in the season where she's not getting any sleep and just feels, you know, isolated and tired and hopeless. So I think we have a great role to play with each other in encouraging.
That's very true. That's very true. I think that many times we don't address the loneliness that is out there with women. I think it's more prevalent than what we think it is, or maybe not that what we think it is. It's what we may not want to acknowledge. Because it's hard. It's hard, especially, you know, if we have experienced loneliness. I mean, yes, we understand it, but we don't want to go, I can understand, I can relate, but you don't want to admit it sometimes.
Exactly. In fact, I just wrote an article about this for Encouragement Cafe, and we're talking about 5 ways that you can really reach out and connect with women, because I think another problem with that is that some women feel really comfortable meeting people, and they can do it anywhere, and you know, in the post office, the grocery store, but others, I mean, that thought is just unthinkable, so it's harder to reach out. So we hope to provide some ways for women to connect and resources and different things like that.
Well, can you, off the top of your head, remember any of the 5 ways that you had put?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, there's 2 separate ways to look at it. One is what avenues you can take, like what resources, like meetup.com has some great meetups in the community. The Mom Network has branches in several cities in the U.S. where you can meet moms. For example, like the Dallas Moms Network, they'll have meetings and boards that you can participate on. Playground groups, if you're a homeschooling mom, there are often homeschooling groups within your community. And then the other side is, and I have more resources as well, just trying to think off the top of my head. Big Tent, I wanted to mention that one as well. BigTent.com has some groups that get together as well. But on the other side, there are different ways that we need to be proactive to foster those friendships. So, you know, I talk about how you should be aware when you are in the grocery store line, or you're one of my friends I did meet at the post office because she was mailing a package and I was mailing a package, and our girls started talking to each other. So looking for other moms that have kids the same ages, and then being bold enough is one, to be bold enough to say, you know what, we're not going to just say let's get together and trade numbers. We're going to put something on our calendar because, you know, as moms, we just get busy. And if you don't, there's a good chance you won't get together. You know, it'll just get pushed out. So being proactive that way, by seeking wise counsel, being wise that way, and looking for those relationships and friendships that will sharpen you, sharpen iron, as the Bible says. And that just means that, you know, they will glorify God through your relationship and build community together. So staying away from toxic things, but being involved with good people that make you feel good. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember my other points here.
That's okay. Give you just a few minutes. We're almost to the end, but I want to give you just some straight talk. If you were sitting straight across from a woman in need, not quite sure what her situation would be, but she needs some encouragement for her personal relationship with God, I want to give you just a few minutes to talk straight to her. What would you say?
I would say that, you know, one of my favorite verses is Psalms 73:26, and it says, though my flesh and heart may fail, God is the portion of my heart forever. And that is one verse that speaks to me, because what it means is that Jesus loves you more than any person in this world. You know, they may disappoint you, they may hurt you, circumstances may hurt you, but there is always hope. And God truly hurts when you hurt. He hears every word, every tear. And there is hope. He is holding you in the palm of his hand. And while your circumstances in the immediate may seem dire, and there may not seem to be a way out, there is. And he is leading you through it. He will never, never leave your side. So seek that personal relationship with him. Talk to him. Some of the ways you can do it is just talking to him. You don't have to get into a very, you know, rehearsed prayer. It's not about that. It's just about talking, as if we're talking now. Or listen to songs. One song I listened to over and over again in the midst of my infertility was the Casting Crowns' Praise You in the Storm. And it was at a moment where I could barely get out of bed and put on my clothes and drive to work. And I would listen to that song over and over and over, really, for like 30-minute drive, I would listen to it the whole way to work and the whole way back, and it was the only thing that got me through the day. But God will find ways to soothe your heart. Just seek him.
That is so true. And, you know, so many people don't look at songs as a way of ministering to you, but I firmly believe that God uses music and uses songs to touch you just as deeply as the words of someone else. You know, it never replaces the Bible, never.
Right.
But it is there as a supplement of something of way he can touch you.
Absolutely.
I've had one in my life that's exactly that way, that I can go back to one of those hard times in life. But if I said it would date me.
Well, we have a song that when my mother passed away in the hospital, we played that over and over at her bedside, and it was Carrie Job Here. And, I think divinely inspired musicians, I mean, they're doing God's work and ministering to us through the power of song. Definitely can touch the soul.
Very much so, very much so. Well, Michelle, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. But before we go, I want you to tell our listeners how they can find your website, because we have talked about it here and there. But we want to know they want to be able to find you. So tell us what the website address is.
Okay, I'd be delighted. It's called Confessions from the Back Pew, but it's under my name, and it is https. / Michelle, MICHELLE, Axton, AXTON, Kelly, KELLY, at kelly.com.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. And if I could also mention Encouragement Cafe, that's another group that I'm on the writing team for, and encouragementcafe.com provides some wonderful inspiration for women especially, and so we hope you'll visit us there too.
Yeah, and then are you also on Facebook?
I am. So I'm under Michelle Acton Kelly, writer. I think it's a hyphen writer. That's
all right.
Me.
Super. Well, for those of you out there, I want you just to find your way over and visit with Michelle. I'm sure she would love to get to know you and you to get to know her and her writing style and her encouragement. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a joy. I really appreciate it.
It was a joy having you, and what a blessing and encouragement to us all. And for those of you that are listening, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want you to also remember that, just as I said at the very beginning, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. They are so much better. And if you are trying to live that Pinterest perfect life, don't try it. Give it God's way. He's the only one that is the perfecter of our faith. I also want to encourage you to not be ashamed of your story. It will encourage others. So if you want to share your story, go on to Facebook, My Journey of Faith Radio. Let me know. I'd love to have you on the show so that we can share your story so that others can be blessed and find encouragement also. So until next time, have a very blessed day. Goodbye.